All right. Okay. Starting a new chapter in conscience today. If you're taking notes, now's the time to get them out. Here we go. Our question in chapter 3 is a very interesting one. What should you do when your conscience condemns you? How many of you have ever had your conscience condemn you before? How many of you have ever felt guilty about something? That's kind of the same question. Okay. I remember an event in my life, probably the first memory I have of my conscience affecting my life was in the second grade. Yes, I know. We had these homework assignment schedules that we had to take home each night, and we had to get them signed by our parents. And so I faithfully did that each night. And when we didn't get them signed each night, we got detention. Ooh. Yes. Detention meant you had to stay after school for a half hour. So this was a terrible travesty. You could be out playing and you'd have detention. Anyway, on one particular night, I don't remember what part of the year it was, but I came to class and I was like, oh no, I didn't get my homework assignment schedule signed. And so I did something which I regretted for days and weeks and probably, well, weeks. At least weeks. I forged my mother's signature. I know what you're thinking. How can you be the principal and that be something in your past? I know, it's terrible. It really is. I really wish I'd saved the paper because I'm sure my hand was shaking, and I'm sure when I signed it, it was like, ah! And the teacher just came by and looked at it, just kept on walking. I was like, oh. And that really struck me. I really thought, oh no, I cannot believe I just did that. Spur of the moment decision, signed my mother's name on a homework assignment schedule. And for weeks after that, I lay awake at night, just tortured by the fact that I had signed my mother's signature on the homework assignment sheet. Finally, one night, I just couldn't handle anymore. I remember I'd gone to bed and my parents were still up and they were talking around the dining room table. And I just rolled out of bed and I was weeping and I came out into the dining room and I'm just weeping. And finally my mother calmed me down. She said, what's wrong? And I said, I forged your signature on the assignment schedule. And here my mother thought, you know, I'd murdered someone or something, but that really struck me, right? That my conscience had told me you have done the wrong thing. My conscience was a judge. It looked into my past and it said, look what you've done. That is wrong. Now, some of you, many of you, probably hopefully all of you, would be able to share a similar circumstance where you've been so guilty, you just had to get it right. And I cannot describe to you the relief that I felt when I got that right with my parents. I thought, oh, wow, what a relief. And I went back and slept like a baby. But conscience, what should you do when your conscience condemns you? That's our topic. I'm super excited about this topic on the conscience, by the way. Conscience is a great topic for us in high school. And why is that? Well, right now in our lives, many of the things that we do or don't do are really predetermined, right? We've got parents who are telling us to do this and don't do that. We've got teachers and administrators here at Bob Jones Academy saying, don't do this, don't do that. But very soon, you will be actually making a lot of those decisions for yourself. And if you don't have a conscience that is exercised on the Word of God, you are going to go off the road. So that's why I think this is such an appropriate topic for high schoolers especially. You are very soon, how many seniors out there? Where are my seniors out there? You guys, I mean, it's not even going to be like a year that's going to pass, and you're already going to be making decisions on your own without the structure that you're used to. And sometimes, if we don't have a conscience that is built on the Word of God, we can go off the road very quickly. Another thing about conscience, oh, here's our definition again, your consciousness of what you think is right and wrong. And we have been emphasizing the fact that it's your consciousness, and it's your belief of what is right and wrong, right? So we need to be very careful because the conscience can be built on many things. sometimes our conscience, well, you give me an example. What can your conscience be built on? You guys talked about this hopefully on Friday in your growth groups. What can your conscience be built on? Here I am, growth group leaders, leaning into the silence. Danny. Yeah, it could be just built on what your parents teach you, and that's not... Okay. Yeah, I guess if you want to stand and bow, I guess. I don't know, that's weird. Your conscience can be built on what your parents say is right and wrong, and that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but soon, as I've already mentioned, you're going to be leaving your parents' home, and it's kind of like, whoa, now what do I do, right? But your conscience, a lot of times, is actually built on what your parents' conscience is about a particular topic. What else? It can be built on what society says, right? Your culture is going to play a lot into what you think is right and wrong. Good. What else? Your fleshly desires, right? What else? Jesus. Hopefully it is. Habits. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of things your conscience can be built on. And we need to be careful, of course, that we base it on the Word of God. It was 501 years ago when a man by the name of Martin Luther stood up in front of a council of church leaders. And he had already published his 95 theses. And the church had read these, and they'd not been pleased with what he had written, and so they called him to the carpet, if you will. They said, you've got to recant your beliefs. You've got to go along with what the party line here is of the church. And Martin Luther stood before this council of leaders. I'm not sure if you've ever stood before a group of people who are all very angry at you. And he stood up, and they really expected that he would just go back and say, oh yeah, what I said earlier, that's wrong, bring me back into the fold. But Martin Luther stood up, and he used this opportunity to stand up for what the Word of God says. And he said these words, unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. Wow. Ouch. My conscience, Martin Luther said, is captive to the Word of God. And that is a place where we should all be found, right? Our consciences should all be captive to the Word of God. That is the place to be. And that is why we're talking about this all of these weeks and months here at Bob Jones Academy. We are praying that your conscience would be captive to the Word of God. So that's a powerful thought for me. Okay, we're back to our original question. What should you do when your conscience condemns you? I'll tell you what happens a lot of times when your conscience condemns you in the world. A lot of people will go to counseling, right? They're going to sit down with some sort of a counselor and they're going to say, oh, my conscience is bothering me. I put together a fictitious conversation. I can't sleep, doc. I feel so guilty about what happened. That's like me in the second grade, right? Can't sleep. I'm so guilty about what happened. And you fill in the blank with whatever happened. And what do you think the doctor is going to say? Oh, just ignore it. Right and wrong don't exist. Here, take these pills to help you sleep. Right? Is that what we should do when our conscience condemns you? When you're lying awake at night, tortured by what you've done? Yeah, just take these sleeping pills. And we have all kinds of panaceas, don't we, for our guilty consciences. I'm convinced that's why we have, we can fill our days without being quiet at all, can't we? Every time we go somewhere, we've got music in our ears. We've got a TV in front of our faces. Very seldom do we actually sit and are quiet. And a lot of times, one of the reasons for that is because we are just guilty and we don't want to listen to our guilty conscience. And so we fill our days and our hours with noise. And it's very unfortunate. Okay. What should you do, though? We're back to that question. Someone give me wrong answers. What should you not do when you are confronted by a guilty conscience? This will be easy, guys. Give me the wrong answers. All right, here we go. Ignore it. He took yours. Okay. Glad we all know the right answers. Hopefully those come out in a second. Yeah. Double down on your wrong answers. Yeah, another one. Good. What else should we not do? You guys, what's that? Do the opposite thing. Continue in what is going wrong. Good. Okay. Look for affirmation for what you're doing. So find all your friends and say, I did this. What do you think, guys? That's great. You guys are good at finding wrong answers. I don't know whether to be scared by that or what. That is really good. That's really bad. I don't know. Okay, so what are some good answers, right? What are the right answers? What should you do when you have a guilty conscience? That's where we're headed next. So hopefully you got the right answers. We can just stop right here and go to lunch, right? Yes. What's that? Go to the Bible. Find out what the Bible has to say. Good. What else? Pray about your struggle. Confront someone. Okay. I think I know what you mean by that. Yes. Try to fix whatever you did wrong. Good. Confess. Let go of your pride. Go to your parents. Good, good. Yes, yes, guys. So we know the wrong answers. We know the right answers. Oftentimes, though, what we know and believe doesn't always translate into action, does it? That's unfortunate. Okay, so what should you do? One of the things you should recognize, first of all, though, is when you have a guilty conscience, that's a barrier between you and God, right? Everyone who has ever lived has had a guilty conscience at one point in their lives, except for Jesus Christ. But everyone else who's lived has had a guilty conscience, and you have to recognize that your guilty conscience places a barrier between you and God. And it's not just a barrier because you're feeling bad about it, right? It's probably because that guilty conscience is indicating that there's sin. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is a key passage of Scripture, and it's taught throughout the Scriptures. Everyone has sinned. Even the times when we think we're doing good things, we're actually doing it with poor motives, and it becomes a sin anyway. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that is, of course, really bad news for human beings to be separated from their Creator. That's very bad news because our sin not only separates us now, it separates us for all eternity. You are a sinner, and we all are, and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ. You are separated from God for all time. And that's really bad news. And we need to park there for a second because bad news is just bad news. And I think a lot of times in our gospel presentations, we go right past the bad news and we go right to the good news. God does love you, that's true, but we got to start with the bad news. Our sin separates us from a holy God. And because of that, God's wrath is against us. Jonathan Edwards wrote a famous sermon many years ago. Does anyone remember Jonathan Edwards' most famous sermon? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. And he, in that message, talked about various imageries that portrayed the wrath of God. He talked about God's wrath being like waters that are just being stored up by a dam. And eventually the floodgates of God's wrath are going to open and God's wrath is going to pour out on mankind. He talked about God's wrath being like a bow and arrow, and God has pulled back the bow, and the arrow is there, and it's ready to be unleashed. That's God's wrath against sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone in this room has sinned, and because of our sin, we're separated. So that's the bad news. Have we parked there long enough? There's good news, though, right? There is good news of a clean conscience, both for the lost and for the saved. We're going to focus today on the lost, and then we're going to come back on Wednesday, Lord willing, And we're going to focus on the saved. What do you do if you're lost and you have a guilty conscience? What do you do if you're saved and you have a guilty conscience? So today, we're going to talk about the lost. What do the lost do when they have a guilty conscience? Well, there's great news. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 9, was kind of giving an argument about the sacrifices of the Old Testament. And he talked about the sacrifices of the Old Testament. While they were good, because they were pointing toward Jesus Christ, they did not solve the problem, did they? You did not get saved by trusting in the cow that you just killed. That was a picture of the perfect sacrifice that was going to come. And so in Hebrews 9 and verse 14, the writer of Hebrews says, how much more than these Old Testament sacrifices? How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience? So there it is. Purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So there's something about what Jesus did on the cross that can actually give us a clean conscience. That's good news, right? For people who are standing there under God's wrath, separated from God for eternity. God says, wait a second, I'm actually doing something to bridge that gap. I'm doing something to purify your conscience. And that's really good news, right? That's good news for billions of people across this planet who have not placed their faith in Jesus Christ but can, right? That's this guy here, who was so drunk when he came home one afternoon, he actually ran over and killed his three-year-old daughter. He has a guilty conscience the rest of his life. But you know what? There's good news for him. Jesus paid for that sin. It's good news for this man who lived his entire life, was so angry at his brother at the age of 15 that he left home and never spoke to his brother again, and now he never will. That's good news for this young lady who had an abortion. She lies awake at night because she's guilty about the things that she's done. And we could talk about billions and billions and billions of stories. But there's good news for those people. And guess what, guys? You are the ones who have that message. You are the ones who can carry that message of hope to people who have guilty consciences. You're the only ones who have that story because you're believers in Jesus Christ. There is no other religion on this planet that offers a clean conscience. None. You have the hope that these people need. The fact that we are afraid to share that story, oh, no. We've got to share this story, the hope that we have with unbelievers. So the lost can have a clean conscience. And I think this is an awesome attraction for the lost, right? I'm not sure if you've shared the gospel recently, but have you included in your gospel presentation? And also, you can have a clean conscience. Yeah, that's good news, isn't it? The people who are lying awake, just tortured by what they've done. This is one of the things that the gospel offers, a clean conscience. Wow, that's powerful, right? When you place your trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, guess what happens for your guilty conscience? God forgives and he covers your sin. That's good news, isn't it? That better be good news, right? He will never count your sin against you. That's good news, isn't it? Because he already counted it against Christ. When Christ hung on the cross that day, God took all of that wrath that was built up, all of the wrath, and he put it on his Son. That is beyond our comprehension. But faith in what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf will lead to forgiveness. And that is the hope of the gospel. So I'm here to say, if you are lost, if you have not yet placed your faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross, would you do that today? This is me pleading for you to turn to Jesus Christ. When you do that, God forgives and covers your sin. He will never count your sin against you because he already counted it against Jesus Christ. You will receive Jesus Christ's righteousness. and your guilty conscience will be cleaned. That is a great hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever, there's people out there who say, you know what, I've done so much. I've done so many terrible things that God can never save me. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That verse, sometimes called the gospel in a nutshell. It's right there. It's perfect. It's got the whole thing right there. God loved the world. He sent his Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What a great passage. Let's pray, and then we'll go. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. We don't dwell on it enough. Thank you for the fact that you sent your only Son, and that your only Son paid the penalty for our sin. He paid the penalty for all the sin that I have committed, that I am committing, that I will commit. And Father, I'm praying, Father, that today, there might be some that are here today who have not recognized the fact that they are a sinner. They have not recognized the fact that Jesus Christ died for them. And they have not placed their faith, their belief, their trust in that finished work on the cross. I'm praying, Father, that today would be the day of their salvation. Go with us now, Father, through this day. Keep us safe. Allow us to learn. Allow us to focus and meditate on the gospel. And I ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. See ya.